The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And good afternoon. Welcome back to Generations Radio. We took a little hiatus here for the last 3 weeks, and we're back now with our current events and our big events today. We have our Honolulu Prosecuting Attorney, Mr. Keith Kaneshiro, on the show. And welcome to the show, Keith. We'll get right into it.
Good afternoon, Percy.
How you been?
I'm fine. I've been good.
Session's over, so you can kind of relax a little bit?
Well, not really. Session's over. We're not as active now at the legislature, but we still have to look at the bills that were passed, and we have to start gearing up for some of the bills that were passed.
Well, you know, my co-host here, Ms. Alyssa Mansfield, now is at over at Left Ultras Medical, now at Kahala Nui, so I know she's going to want to be able to have Scott and yourself available in event or any elder abuse issues, right?
Absolutely. I've already, with my short time being there, I think I've hit 3 month mark. And a couple of scams have already been brought to my attention.
Really?
So it's my responsibility when the seniors get a phone call, they come right to me and then I have to post it and investigate, actually.
Yeah, no problem. We'll be there to help you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime.
Well, I mean, Keith has experience with your mother being in that facility, right?
Not that facility. She was at...
Another one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, with that concentration of seniors in the facility, hopefully, do they talk much to each other about what's going on or scams, things like that?
Yeah, they do. They actually will get together and kind of have like a... I guess a powwow to discuss, you know, what, you know, is this real, you know, especially with the... Send us money, I think it's the grandparent scam. So that was the one that just came up last week. So, you know, it's just educating them and letting them know that just don't answer the phone. That's my first thing. Don't answer the phone. Let your voicemail get it and then bring it to to a director's, you know, attention.
But, you know, Keith, for a lot of people in Honolulu or in the state wondering, the prosecutor's office, and that's different than the attorney general's office,
yes,
right? So can you give our audience, you know, when I first met you many years ago, when we had you on the cover, I even had a little bit of, every time once in a while, I'll go back, oh, no, that's the prosecutor's office. No, that's the attorney general's office cases. How does that break down?
Well, generally, we derive our power from the attorney general. The attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer, and he delegates the power to prosecute to the counties, to the county prosecutors. So we prosecute over 90% of the criminal cases.
Oh, really?
On Oahu, yes. And the attorney general will just take cases that they want to take, and they're more selective. We look at other cases that's reported, and if there's evidence, we prosecute those cases.
And I didn't realize how big your office was when I went to do our photo shoot many years ago. I was surprised how many divisions you have and how many, you know, is that correct? Over 100 attorneys?
Yes, over 100 attorneys, total staff of over 300.
Wow,
that's huge. And so can you just get, if you can, off the top of your head, the different divisions that you have? I know we have Scott Spolina on. Mm. That's Elder Abuse Unit.
Yes.
And I would say himself and three other attorneys, right?
Yes. We have, first discuss the vertical prosecution units.
Yeah.
And these are the prosecutors that take the case from the beginning to the end. Elder abuse is one of those units. We have the career criminal unit. We have the sex assault unit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the domestic violence unit. And, of course, white-collar crime with Chris Van Water, he's a unit unto himself, but he has an investigator and attorneys working for him, so we have that unit. Then we have the felony trials unit. These are all the attorneys that handle the felony trials.
Experienced ones.
Yes. And they're the ones who handle the trials in district court. Bulk of the attorneys are in the felony trials unit. And then we have the misdemeanor unit, misdemeanor trials, which handles the traffic cases, the criminal misdemeanor, and man the rural courts. There's about 4 or 5 rural courts that we have to man and prosecute their cases there in rural courts. And of course, we have the screening and intake unit, which they screen all the major cases that come into the unit. They confer with the detectives, with the exception of the vertical prosecution unit. The vertical prosecution unit, the prosecutors in those units doesn't confer and work with the detective directly. The trials unit get the cases after it's charged by the screening and intake division. And, of course, we have the family court or the juvenile unit. These are prosecutors who man family court and handle the juvenile crimes in family court.
That's a big list. Yeah. How do you keep track of that? I mean, your experience must be a wide range of just all type of legal procedures.
Oh, yes. It is. And like family court is very unusual because it's confidential. Mm-hmm. And they follow specific procedures. Of course, we have to deal with all the cases in the circuit court, the felony trials, the misdemeanor. And misdemeanor, you have all different types of cases. You have the DUI, drunk driving cases. You have those type of cases. So there's a lot of different types of crimes that we have to prosecute. So you have to know the full spectrum. Now, the Attorney General will only take cases that they decide to take. They take, they'll handle Medicaid fraud, and they'll take some elder abuse, but it's elder abuse, a different type of victims that they will do, and they'll do some white collar cases. We do a lot of white collar, but they
do the IRS tax and things like that.
They will do the IRS. We also do IRS.
Oh, really?
We do state tax fraud cases. In fact, one case that we did was we handled the puppy mill case. And then the court kind of let the corporation off easily on that case. But what happened was we reported we gave the facts or evidence of the case to the state tax people. And they did a prosecution on tax fraud.
Well, there was a couple big cases, wasn't there, in the last couple few years? Over 100 dogs each one?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And we give it to the state tax to do the investigation, and we will do the prosecution.
It's unfortunate. I actually have a friend of mine that retired from the Humane Society. He was an investigator. He was the one that went out with the van and things, and he was saying, it's just unfortunate that these people mean well, but at some point down the road, they get overwhelmed and they can't afford to take care of the animals. And, you know, the intent in the beginning was great and it was needed. But at the end of the day, after they had over 100 dogs, they couldn't feed them. They couldn't care for them. I mean, some of the pictures that were on TV were just gross.
It's
unfortunate.
There's the pictures you see on TV. You go in person and you see it's worse.
Yeah.
And we had the defendant in that case did plead guilty. I think no contest and spending sentencing.
Yeah, so unfortunately, are there any laws that in the legislature that's going to try to have them be more responsible or any fines?
Well, there's laws. The first law I think that really started this whole thing off was to make animal cruelty a felony. If you kill a pet, it's now a felony. Before it was all misdemeanors. And this, I worked on this law when I was at the legislature. And after we got this law into effect, was passed, then I got elected prosecutor. So that's why I made animal cruelty a priority, because we saw too many animals being abused. Now, after the first puppy mill case that we had, which I think there was about...
Is that the one in Waimanalo?
No, this is the
many
one...
Many more years ago.
Yeah. Oh. And we could only charge misdemeanors. But now a new law was passed, in which is over 10 animals being treated crudely, you can charge them as a felony.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, 10 is a small number, I think. Yeah. When somebody's had 200 or 300 dogs,
yeah.
I mean, it's just sad. I mean, we all have animals. You have an animal, and Scott has an animal, a dog. But it's really sad. Even in a case in Las Vegas we saw last week, right, this past week,
yes.
Where the only family dog actually killed a 3-month or 6-month old. So sad.
It's very sad because, you know, the animals can't speak and defend themselves.
Right.
So somebody have to defend them.
Actually, when I was 7 years old, I was actually attacked by my best friend, my neighbor's dog. and we play with them all the time. And in fact, same with that pit bull in Las Vegas. It was a family pet, and they grew up with the baby. But just they said in my case, when I was 6 or 7 years old, it was just a heat. If they wake up one day and it's really hot, some small little thing, a noise, somebody talk to them can trigger their anger. Yeah, and I still have a scar on my chest from that attack. Believe it or not. You know, it's true, I have a scar. But, I mean, just so unfortunate that, you know, it's just gotten to that point.
It's unfortunate. It's some animals, I guess, they are violent and they'll attack. But the majority of them, they're a reflection of how they've been treated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we're here with Prosecutor Keith Conishiro, and we're talking about the prosecutor's office. Now, Keith, for your office, you have a specific unit. And when I first met you, when I met Scott here, when you came into office, there was no elder abuse unit. Is that correct?
Well, there was. Scott was head of the elder abuse unit when I got there. He had one deputy working with him. And because I decided to make elder abuse a priority in office, we expanded that unit.
Oh, okay.
He now has three or four deputies working with him. And because we've seen a lot more cases. As a result of that, expanding the unit, we handle a lot more cases.
Yeah. And so by the law, and correct me if I'm wrong, now is any case of physical, emotional, physical abuse over 60 or 65 years old?
Well, 60 is the age that the statute says you can have enhanced sentencing.
Enhanced sentencing, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's 60 and over.
Okay. And so what kind of cases are we seeing now, or what kind of calls are you getting? I know the numbers have increased over the years.
Oh, we have all type of elder abuse. We from fraud, contract fraud cases where people promise the elders, they go to the house and they promise to do jobs and they don't do it. We see those cases, but I think over 60% of the cases we see is financial exploitation of elders.
Yeah. Well, hopefully,
Sad because it's a lot of it is done by the family members.
Yeah. One thing I would like to see is to have increased penalties as well for those financial cases, because I know several people. In fact, one of my clients. I found out that, the guy came over, I'll fix your wall, gave him $10,000, half down. He never came back. Just like that. And I said, how'd you meet him? Oh, he was driving around, he was a nice guy, and he talked really well, and I needed to fix a wall. He saw my wall, and he just gave him the money. Next, come back Monday, never came back. And this guy was actually a regional manager for one of the financial institutions here in Hawaii.
Wow.
So he was a pretty bright guy.
Yeah, it's that trust factor.
Trust factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the courts need to understand that when there's a financial exploitation of elders, regardless whether it's contract or whatever type of financial exploitation, they need to understand the impact it has on the victim. They think it's just because it's money, it's okay. You can always replace money, but it has a big impact. It changes the
harder for seniors.
Yeah, it's hard for seniors because they're not working.
It's hard for seniors. It changed their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And they can become homeless as a result of that, financial fraud and those kind of cases. So the courts need to understand that. And therefore, there needs to be more consequences when a defendant commits those type of crime. Scott handled some cases, which is financial fraud, and he was able to get some jail time.
Yeah, it's really important. But it's to this day, Honolulu is the only county that has an elder abuse unit, right? Maui, Kauai, and the Big Island doesn't have them.
As far as I know, yes.
Yeah. What's unfortunate. So I don't know if Scott ever goes out there, but I think, in fact, even nationwide, isn't it true that nationwide is not a whole lot of specific elder abuse units in the States?
No, it's not, because I think they put it on different classification. They do financial frauds. They don't
separate because of seniors.
Victims. I think it's important that we single out, because you have to understand the victims and understand the type of crimes that's been committed against them. And they're vulnerable. The elders are vulnerable, and they have the assets, they have the wealth and the money. So people take advantage of that. And plus, the elders are very trusting of people.
Well, I saw a statistic the other day that 70% of all the wealth is owned by the 50-plus category. And we're seeing more and more of that. My day job as a mortgage guy, I see more and more people would have a lot of equity but don't have the reserves. And I mean, I have family members that have been scammed. I mean, it's just rampant. And I was talking to Mike Buck this morning that it's really, really important that these financial cases. I mean, there was a case recently in the news about how the guy owes $600,000 to the defendant, and I think he's only giving what, it's going 60 bucks a week or something like that. How did they figure that out, by the way? They're off the topic.
The cost really don't figure that out. Because if you sit down and add, I'm just adding.
It won't add up.
The amount of years the person is on probation or serving a time, and you have to pay a certain amount per month, it's not even going to come close to the amount of money that they took. So actually, sometimes it pays to commit a crime because you can keep the money. And that's what happens. So we have to, when we have those type of case, we got to do really intensive investigation to try and locate the money also. In one of our elder abuse case, we were able to stop the defendant from transferring the funds from her account into other people's account. And we were able to recoup the money that was taken. Mm. The lady sold, her house was sold. And the proceeds of the sale of the house went to the defendant. So we were able to freeze the money and give the proceeds back. You can't give the lady back her house because the people who purchased the house were bona fide purchasers, purchased the house in good faith. So it wasn't their fault. But I think it's important that when you have consequences, it has to fit the crime. If they take that much money, they have to really try and collect the money and get the money back.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a good point about families are probably what I saw statistics, it was almost 70 to 65% of family members are the ones that commit the elderly abuse. I've seen it in my facility. There's a lot of times people will come in all of a sudden when mom is on hospice and they're all of a sudden the golden child and really try to come around more often. How important is it for people to recognize the danger faced by elderly members of their own family?
Well, it's important. I think some of the reports on elder abuse by family members are reported to us by the other siblings who see that their brother or sister is all of a sudden getting all the money and they're taking advantage of the parents, so they report it to us. The difficulty in some of those cases is the victims, the parents, don't want to prosecute their own child.
Right.
And that's a difficulty. Or they might be sick, they might have dementia, they cannot remember everything, and they may have signed power of attorneys over to the person who's taking all their money, not really realize the impact. They just trust the children. So that's the difficulty in some of these cases.
Yeah, but I know you guys work with the Adult Protective Services and HPD,
yes.
Right? And
yes.
So how does that work when they make a complaint? To let's say, doesn't a lot of time the complaints go directly to APS in the beginning part, or both?
It goes to APS. People who report abuse of elders report to APS, but APS don't handle all those cases because
right.
It has to be a vulnerable person victim, and some of the elders are not vulnerable victims in a sense that they're wealthy and they have the money. The cases investigated by them, and those that the attorney generals can't prosecute, won't prosecute, refer to us, and we will look into and prosecute those cases. Now, the police get reports directly from the victims, and they work on the cases and report. They also get reports from the banks on suspicious transactions because the law now requires the banks to report suspicious transactions to the police. The police will investigate, contact Scott Spolina, and then we'll start working the case with them.
That includes credit union as well, right?
Credit union and banks,
I've seen that more and more. And
and that's why Scott and I have been to credit unions and banks to talk to them about elder abuse and to give them training, to tell them how to spot. And most of them know how to spot, right? Because
yeah.
The tellers there or the employees at the banks have worked with the victims for many, many years, so they know when something is suspicious.
You know, you bring up a good point also about dementia. There was a recent story that I heard. One of the residents in another assisted living facility had friended a Uber driver. I don't know how they found each other, but all of a sudden he started calling this Uber driver to take him around town. And a lot of these visits were to the bank to pull out the monies. Do you think maybe not only educating them about signs to look for, but maybe when they're when people that they're familiar with are showing signs of dementia, you know.
Yeah, I think there needs to be closer watch when the victims have dementia, and especially when they have a lot of money, a lot of assets, because there are people out there that's going to take advantage of it, and they know that. Because if you look back, our elders worked hard all their years, and what they did was they worked, they gained property, and they get money, they save money to help the children. And that's what they're doing. And now in a tough economic time, some of the children don't have as much money, and nor the parents have the money, so they want access to that money.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's where some of the problems occur.
Yeah, and a lot of times they don't spend enough time with their families to know that they are exhibiting these behaviors.
Yes. You know, you have elders living on their own, mm-hmm. and I would recommend that the children check up on their parents, not just once a week, but as often as you can. Make sure you put in a recording machine to record calls and tell the your parents or your elders not to take calls directly. Look and get it from a playback, unless it's the children that's calling. And those are the things that we discuss when we go out and do training. We educate the public. We go to different places and talk to elders. Scott and I will do that. Scott will set it up, and we'll go there and tell them what to look for and how to address it.
Yeah, I know you've done several hundred actually over the past few years,
yeah,
right?
We've done a lot, yeah.
And I know you've been on our radio show, you've been on our cover as well, and thanks to Scott, and hopefully soon we'll get Chris Duquet to start writing articles for Generations Magazine, because it's just a growing area, and it's only going to increase, isn't it?
It's going to increase. And Chris Duquet handles cybercrime, which is anything involving computers or the phones, the iPhones, or things like that. The fortunate thing about that is some of the elders don't use that. They're not familiar with computers.
Right.
Or so.
Right.
But some
more and more are.
Yes.
Yeah, some of them are getting used to that. Before, elders wouldn't even carry cell phones because they didn't know how it worked, but now they do carry cell phones. So they can be defrauded through those means.
Yeah, in fact, I was talking to somebody this morning before I came here, and she's talking about I was told I was going to come and see you. She goes, ask him, how do you, does the prosecutor's office go after criminals that maybe are located in the mainland versus, well, I mean, I know it's pretty hard if it's in South America or some foreign country, but do you ever have a case where you can go after somebody in the mainland?
Yes. If the crime is committed here in Hawaii, and sometimes through internet, the crime is committed here, we try to track down where the computer location is. And if we identify the person, we can indict the person here in Hawaii and extradite the person from the location wherever they're at. We've even extradited people from foreign countries.
Really?
To come back to Hawaii and to be prosecuted, to face trial.
Well, that's important because we're finding more and more cases. You know, we every time I find somebody, I always want them to come on air. You know, we've done KITV. I mean, my own wife got scammed. It was a play that came on. What was it? Book of Mormons?
Yes.
Book of Mormons,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, she wanted to go. I didn't really care to go. But I heard a lot of good things about
it. I went.
It
was really good.
It's a good play.
It was the very last show. She bought the ticket Friday. I think it was a Sunday night or a Saturday night show. I think it was a Saturday night show. That was the last one. She bought it Friday. So we had dinner at my friend Chai's place. If you ever get a chance, we go to concert. Eat at Chai's first. Leave your car there. Don't tell him I told you that. Walk across the street. Don't jaywalk, right?
Did you use my gift card I gave you?
I'm going to.
Well, I gave you to use it at Chai's. That's what it was
I'm going to go. Trevor, if you get a chance, Trevor Noah is coming to town the last Friday of the month. You guys don't know who Trevor Noah is?
No.
He's a great comedian. He's originally from South Africa, and he's based in New York now, but he is really
funny.
He talks about all these different ethnic issues. And he took over for Jim Colbert or that one
on the Daily News.
Yeah, Daily News.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he took over that. Anyway, where was I going with this now? The scam. So we got it. We printed the ticket out. We go to the front door. The girl at the front door scans it, and goes beep. I said triangle beep. It wouldn't scan, and she goes, "Uh oh, you better go talk to the guys over there at the front office." He gives a ticket to the front office guy. The guy goes, oh, did you ever notice your name not even on the ticket?
Oh, wow.
That's the first thing we should have looked at, yeah. The name on the ticket. It was some other guy's name. It was, oh, you're the third person for that tonight.
Oh, no.
So it was through, who's the big ticket guys?
Ticketmaster?
No, not the big one. StubHub.
Oh, StubHub.
Okay, so StubHub, we got it from StubHub. So she said, it's from StubHub. It should be good. You thought so.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, call up the next day. And I don't know if Chuck Parker was there, but the guy called my wife. I told my wife, you got to report it. So go on KITV. And so she went on KITV the next day, I think, Chuck, Monday. Your reporter went down to the hotel where my wife works at, told her story. She contacted StubHub. StubHub refunded the whole money, all the money. I think it was like $200, something like that. And gave her another $100 credit on top of that, saying, we're really sorry.
Yeah.
It should have never happened. So, like, I better go look at my Trevor Noah tickets, make sure my name's
on. That's a good. That's the key. See, there's the little keys that you need to know. You know.
So that's a key. If you're buying tickets online, first thing you should look at is if your name's on the ticket. I mean, I was laughing. Like, the third guy tonight had the same ticket.
Yeah, you see, the ironic thing about it is the computer has done wonders, and a lot of people go on the internet and do things and buy on the internet. It has done wonders for a lot of people, but it's also a vehicle to commit crime.
Yeah.
And a lot of crimes are committed via the computers, and that's why we have cybercrime.
Yeah. It's just rampant. And so, you know, every time, I know a lot of people are afraid of going online. I do banking online, but you just got to look carefully, you know, and unfortunate.
Yeah, the great thing about credit cards nowadays, you can... There's a limit, so if you spend over $50, it can even be so small amount. But if large charges, I think mine is if anything over $50, I get notified
$50.
To my phone. Yeah, because I want to know. Because even like Apple, those charges
don't
come
you buy
up.
Online at Amazon a lot?
I do. Yes, I do.
You
so I want
to every day.
No, I don't go every day, but it's nice to know that I'm the one that's using that account.
Yeah.
Even like Apple, you can buy apps and stuff. Well, the thing now is they'll put the small amount, like $1.50. And, of course, you're not getting that alert, so it keeps adding up. Next thing you know, it's $100.
Yeah.
So we've had to cancel credit cards because I even get, with my husband, he has even that small amount of $1.50.
Yeah, the two good things about credit card is, one, if there's credit card fraud, the credit card company will eat the loss. Second, the credit card company has and will track suspicious spending. And if they see a suspicious spending, they won't approve the sale. They'll contact you on the phone to ask you, hey, are you there? Are you buying this?
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
No, absolutely. I've been in the stores. I think I bought a Bose system for like $2,000 or something like that. They called me right there. I was in Arizona last month watching spring training with my son and my wife and another couple of kids. Same thing. You know, they want to make sure. But what I like about it, it's pretty immediate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you go traveling and you intend to use a credit card when you're traveling, you should call the credit company and card company and let them know that you're traveling and where you're going to.
Yes. It's so important. But when back to the comment about 60-70% of all the crime is by family members?
Yes.
How do you protect against that? That's a hard one.
It's hard. It's difficult. You just have to educate the elders and let them know what's involved, and also you got to educate the family. The family members have to watch over them, even though some of them are the ones who are committing the crime. The other siblings might be watching.
Yeah, it's really important. So we're here with Keith Conishiro, the prosecuting attorney. Keith, I mean, we have another half hour of the show, but I wanted to thank you first of all because the elder abuse unit, I know what Scott's been doing, does help. I just wish they would read the magazine more because this grandparent scheme happened to a family member of mine. I said, you need to read the magazine. We've talked about a story before. But anyway, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with our prosecuting attorney, Keith Conishiro.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to A Medicare Moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073, 543-2073.
I was an addict from the age of 13. I finally decided it was time for a change. I walked into the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that got me ready for the real world. Now, I choose to be guided by Jesus Christ, and today, I'm building a powerful and promising future, free from drugs and alcohol.
Please shop at the Salvation Army Family Stores. With our discounted sales, your support through your purchase helps men live a clean, sober, and productive life.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
I got the call. I'm all in here.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Percy here with our prosecuting attorney, Keith Kaneshiro, and my co-host, Melissa Mansfield. You know, Melissa, you guys are Kahala Nui. I've got to tell you, you guys have really good food there.
Excellent food. Yeah. And the best benefit about working there is we get employee discounts, very nice employee discounts for the
meals.
But
the meeting the other day, you brought a bento or something. You bought a sandwich from Foodland.
Yes, I was so busy that day, I just ran in and got something. Okay. You have to pre-order, you know.
Well, you can invite me and Keith.
I am,
come
absolutely.
Down. Maybe Keith can give a talk, you know.
Absolutely, for,
For the residents. Because yes. I know you guys do, don't you guys do monthly meetings?
We do town hall meetings, right. Yes. So absolutely, we'd love to have you come in and talk about
Scott
scams.
And I would be happy to come there.
And they have good food. Just that if you go there, you cannot wear shorts. I went with a nice shorts, golf shorts, and polo shirt, and he looked at me like, "What are you wearing shorts in here for?"
Yeah,
they let me eat, but I had to go way back in the corner. No, seriously, but it was okay. Now I know. Don't wear a nice shorts. I was a nice polo shirts. They wouldn't let me. But I mean, I had great food though. So
it's
thank
really
you very
good
much.
Food.
You know, we did want to let you know that there's some events coming up. There's a big one coming up May 31st at the Kahala Mall. It's actually put on by the YMCA because National Senior Health and Fitness Day is May 31st. It's a Wednesday. It's from 9 to 1 p.m. at Kahala Mall. And there's going to be over 40 exhibitors. There are going to be some fitness and cooking demonstrations. So if you're at the mall, go to Starbucks, go to California Pizza Kitchen, go to any of the restaurants and stores over there. But it's, just walk around from 9 to 1 o'clock on May 31st, which is a Wednesday. So everybody aims. School is still in, I think. Huh?
Mm-hmm. But that event is amazing. It really stretches the whole span of the mall.
Yeah.
It's a really good resource.
Well, they're actually doubling the size of the reach this year because they loved it so much last year. But all kind of companies will be there. I know Generations Magazine will be there. But there's all type of events. So if you're tuning in next week, actually, is it next week Thursday, Melissa? Next week Wednesday? I can't remember what day that was. Was it the following week? The Okinawan. When is the Okinawan? You know when the Okinawan one is?
Keith,
you know when the Okinawan event is? I can't even remember again.
Oh, the
Okinawan Senior Fair at the
Okinawan
Center.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll look at. If you go to our website, it's on our calendar there. But so check that out. But I did want to tell you that the YMCA one is really good. It's got a lot of great resources there. As you guys know, the April-May issue is out with Senator Akaka. Senator Akaka on the cover. I was looking at Jeff Apaka's picture here at the magazine. But Senator Akaka is on a stands out there. It's at all the doctor offices, dentist offices, the YMCAs, all the hospitals, all the retirement facilities. If you ever get a chance, if you can't find one, you can always find one at the library. We're at over 50 libraries statewide. I think we're the only magazine distributed through the state library system. So even on Molokai at the University of Hawaii, we're there. So check it out. The Big City Diner, thanks to Lane over there at the Big City Diner. But his story is great. When I sat with the senator, you know, at his stage in life where he wants to give back, he's learned a lot. And he learned a lot about diabetes and the kidney. And so there's actually going to be a room dedicated to him at the Kidney Center on National Kidney Foundation of Hawaii out in Kapolei. It's a $12 million facility that's being built right now, but they'll have Daniel K. Akaka facility out there. So check that out. And also, if you want to donate, I would highly recommend you do that because they do great work, and you can donate their kidney car and kidney clothes. So check that out. I did want to mention we do have a couple of new partners in the magazine. James Carter, who you may have heard on the radio with us, he's called Luna Acupuncture and Wellness, by the way, Keith. He does do animal acupuncture, by the way. Because when you mentioned your dog, I'm looking at my dog because my dog is that we kind of a rescue dog, and he had a lot of ear problems and everything, and he still has nightmares every day.
It really helps. Animal acupuncture, a lot of vets are doing it now. Also, co-laser. Co-laser
is that?
It's similar to acupuncture, but you don't put the needles in. It has a machine laser machine that transforms.
Must be the electronic.
Electronic,
something
yes.
Something like that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was talking to a producer the other day. The pet industry is growing so much. I mean, it's huge. I mean, I love dogs, and it's just growing so much. But acupuncture, and then you mentioned aquatherapy. That's what doing it for me.
Aquatherapy, where you put the dog in a pool and the dog swims.
Wow.
I had a life vest on my dog.
But you need to have a life vest.
Yeah.
I got to get one because my dog will just... Will not get it. Why, you can't put a human...
No, it has to be fitted. It's a different type of vest. And what's great is it has a handle in the back. So when you just lift it up.
Oh.
Yeah. I do mine on stand-up paddleboard. They fall off.
You
I put them
one?
Right back on. Yeah, I have two for each dog.
You can go to the pet shop. I think they have
a
pet shop.
Oh, they have one?
Yeah. Oh, yes, the Hawaii Pet Expo, too.
Oh, it's this weekend?
It is this weekend.
Right.
Oh, good. But anyway, we're here with Keith Kaneshiro. And I know, Keith, you guys have done hundreds and hundreds of workshops. But I think, you might want to invite him over to Kahalanui.
Absolutely.
And get him to talk about, we're going to have Chris Duque on later on talking about cybersecurity. But what other issues do you see now going on, Keith, in regards to elder abuse and within the community in general?
Well, right now, it's dangerous on the streets because there are dangerous people out there. Because the prisons are overcrowded, because the state hospitals are not treating as many mentally ill patients, you have criminals who have the mental illness problem out on the streets, and they're dangerous. And we have seen some crimes occur, random crimes occur, violent crimes by these...
One in Haleiwa.
Yes.
Slash the worker there.
One right downtown.
Downtown.
Recently.
Yes. Yeah.
The bus stop one.
Yes.
Yeah. And the one where you had the throat things like
Hollywood.
That.
That was.
And a lot of these defendants, criminals who committed a crime, are claiming mental illness. And they have a history of it. And of course, the court system are very lenient to the people who are mentally ill and they get off. A lot.
Well, I know the homeless issue is a big problem.
It is.
But I was talking to somebody at the city office there that you think it's a problem now. If we don't start addressing mental illness with seniors, you're going to see a lot more, especially with clients that have Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, things like that. Mental health issues is just a huge, huge problem that's ready to explode.
Actually. So we've been seeing the homeless problem. It has impacted the criminal justice system because a lot of the courts are clogged with all these cases.
Right.
Being committed, crimes being committed by these homeless people, and they don't appear in courts. You have bench warrants being issued, you have money being expended to look for them, they're arrested, they're brought back. You can't incarcerate them just because they're homeless. You can't fine them because you have no money to do it, to pay the fines. So what we've done was we've created this program called Community Courts, in which we would work with the public defenders and get all these the homeless people who have multiple charges outstanding. And these are not serious charges, minor offenses. And we will package all the cases, have them come to court at the community courts, and they'll plead guilty to a plea agreement. And the punishment is community service.
Really?
They would work in the community.
Has it started already?
We just got the funding by this legislature.
I didn't hear about that.
But we did pilot projects, and we had four or five court appearances in which defendants came. The first one had four defendants came, and three of the four had completed the restitution. Mm. And we've had several after that. If we've taken care of, in the first case, we took care of over 100 cases.
Really?
Was disposed of. And just three or four defendants now. The second one, we had three defendants and we took care, disposed of over 100 cases. So we were disposing a lot of cases where the courts have told us to limit it so we can dispose 50 cases. They have to do all the paperwork, that's why.
It's so rampant. I mean, I think it's a great idea.
And they're coming for, and they completed the community service, and they'll go and do the community service, and they're grateful for being given the opportunity to start their life again. We don't have to worry about bench warrants, don't have to worry about police looking for them so they can clear up their records. And these are minor crimes, not serious crimes.
Right. Well, that's the one that it's perfect for. I know you're involved in other ones besides cybersecurity, but also the trafficking. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
That's a big issue, and it's a big topic nowadays.
Trafficking is an international issue.
Now, you had a conference, was it last year?
We had an international sex trafficking conference in which we had nine foreign countries participate, prosecutors from those countries participate, as well as district attorneys and prosecutors from throughout the United States came and participated in that. We had over 300 people participating.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And we discuss international sex trafficking and how we can work together. And you'd be surprised the kind of problems they have. And some countries are pretty advanced and they have laws and they're addressing the problem because they realize some of their citizens are being trafficked in the United States.
Sure.
So now we kind of trying to get them to work together with the district attorneys in the different states that have these problems. We here in Hawaii have been on Oahu. Only our office have been able to do these kind of cases. We have prosecuted, put six, seven pimps in prison as a result of the being aggressive in prosecuting these kind of cases. We've shut down 3 to 4 massage parlors in which foreign women were used mm-hmm. in the massage parlors, and they were used. The prostitution was occurring there. So we've been taking a real proactive approach and working with Homeland Security and our police department and shutting down the massage parlors here in Honolulu.
Well, that's a big issue because of our location.
Yes. Yeah.
Close to Asia. It's just something that we're seeing, especially with our tourist market here. I mean, Vegas is a big mecca, but when we're in Hawaii, we're like outside, we're a little farther away. You don't see as much, but it's a huge, huge problem. I mean, I can see it continuing growing. So do you think, are there any legislations coming out that you're looking at for Hawaii specifically to that?
Well, no, there's just no legislation. The legislation that was passed last year, which is, they changed the promoting prostitution law to make it, call it a sex trafficking law, which having the same provisions. But what we did was we used an older law called the Unlawful Use of Business, in which employees and people connected to massage parlors can be charged with this unlawful use of business law. And it's a racketeering, that's a racketeering law. And we've used that law and have been very successful in prosecuting people with that law.
And I know there was one of the other legislative things that you wanted this year was a continuous alcohol monitoring.
Yes, it's a device called Scram. But the company made the Scram. And what you do is you attach this device to the ankle of the person. And that device will detect when the person drinks alcohol. And I'll record in a station that's monitoring this that the person is drinking alcohol. So a person who's out on bail, this is in replacement of bail, they can have this Scram device on them. It can be reported, and you can bring that person in to make sure the person, while he's awaiting trial or even after his sentence, is not drinking.
How does the thing attached to your ankle tell whether you're drinking or not?
There's a device that transmits back to the monitoring device.
Well, that's...
It's kind of scary.
It is scary, but it's effective, obviously.
We should try this one day and see how. Yeah. Drink that. What's that? Miller 64 or something like that, a real light one?
Well, one of my deputy prosecutors wore that on his ankle, but you know, he doesn't drink, so he didn't record. Oh. He made sure he didn't drink. So.
Oh, really?
But he wore it just to show that you can wear it around and it's not uncomfortable. It's not intrusive or anything. So that law that allows the use of that was passed this past session.
And so when, you know, I mean, I'm not, even though I have a family member that's a legislator, when do funds become available? Because that's always a thing I see. Because I know the long-term care ombudsman got monies for Neighbor Island representatives for this office of, I think, $150,000 for 2 years. But when is that money?
The fiscal year starts on July 1st.
Okay.
It can be available then, but it's available when the governor releases
right,
the money.
That's what I'm talking about.
So what happens is the governor can decide when he's going to release the money, and it depends on what the fiscal situation of the state is, and he makes that decision. But the after July 1st, whoever has funding should write to the governor, ask for the release, or to the budget and finance director. And they will release the funds.
Well, that's interesting because I've seen cases where they took over a year to get funded. And
that's right. There's been cases. Even I had my career criminal funding, and it was delayed for about 6 months. So, you know, we really didn't get the full funding because in 6 months, well, in that case, we got the full funding. But sometimes... if you have a city grant, they'll release it 6 months, but they won't release the full amount.
Right. So what other kind of alternative to incarceration laws that you got passed? Was there another one too?
No, there's not. I'm on this commission to look at what kind of programs to put in a new prison that they want to build. But the law to pass or appropriate more funds for a new prison did not really pass. I think there's going to be a delay. But I think what's important is people need to recognize that when you address the problem of crime, you have to have enforcement, you have to have consequences. And if you don't have a new prison, you can't incarcerate, you don't have consequences. And that's the problem we have with the whole probation program, in which people were on probation, were violating the conditions of probation 9 to 12 times, and nothing happened to them. Until the event she committed a more serious crime, like murders, attempted murders, and then something happened. But you don't want to wait till then, because then you have another victim. So we need to address the prison problem. And as somehow, I guess the community or the legislature is reluctant to spend money to build a new prison. We need to do that.
I thought they were doing studies or release funds to do a study.
Yeah, they have release funds to do a study, and a study was done and as to the location of a new facility for OCCC.
Is it up in Halawa, up further up Halawa somewhere?
Yes. But I think it's more than a jail. population, you need to address the prison population, which is the people who stay at Halava.
Well, you just got to create more beds, you know.
You need to create more beds. And, you know, you can create more beds, but it doesn't have to be really a high-security prison.
Right,
you can
right.
have minimum security prison like you have in Waiava, even right. though they had an escape over there. But, but you know, you have the minimum security yeah. kind of prison. But you need more beds. You need to take the criminals who committed a crime. You need to take them out of the community, out of, you know, the general population, so they cannot harm people.
Right. Well, I like your community outreach program.
Yes.
When do you think that's going to get funded?
Well, the funds have been appropriated. We just have to wait for the governor to release the money. But we have started the pilot project. We have started the program. So it's continuing. We just had another session this past week in which the defendants, I think three defendants came, and they were very grateful to have the opportunity to start again. Because what happens, though, as long as you have outstanding bench warrants or standing crimes that you haven't resolved, you can't renew your license. You can't do any of that. So if you can't renew your license, you can't get a job, some of these people. So
right.
now we want to give them an opportunity to get a job so they can get off get on their feet again.
Now, did I see something about in the legislature about Mayor Caldwell has increased the
sit lie
further out?
Further out. It included
Kakako?
Kakako and part of Kalii.
Really?
Yes.
We're in Kalii, right down the street. So the stream is right behind us here. Does it go as far as that stream over there?
I think
it does.
I think that's one of the inclusions, yeah.
Well, tell them next time, don't build a fence, because they built that fence over there,
yeah.
and they moved everybody out, and everybody moved back in after the fence was built. But do you see more and more problems with that?
I see more problems with the homeless population. And we don't want to criminalize homelessness, but there are crimes committed by homeless people that we do prosecute.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're homeless doesn't mean they can't commit crimes. So we prosecute them. Just on the sit line, those type of crimes, they're part of this community court project. If they commit those crimes, they have the outstanding. If they want to resolve it and do community service, we'll have them do that in the community court program.
But a lot of people say you're just pushing them further and further out of the city.
Well, I'm not involved in that, in the sit line,
that's
pushing them
one.
Out. What happens is if the, I guess the citation is issued, then it comes to us and we try to resolve the court proceedings that way. We don't want to clog up the courts with all these homeless cases.
It's unfortunate, but I like I said, I think if some kind of a community outreach court could be flourish more. But are you going to be limited to 50 cases again or 100 cases again?
We're limited. We're starting small with that. But I think maybe because with the new law, they get additional staff, they can process more cases. Now, the other important thing with community court does is right now you cannot order any one of them to go, any of the homeless to go to homeless shelters or to go to get services or counseling. But if they come in the community courts, the judge can order them to do that, which is now you have some leverage and you can order them to get some treatment and some services.
Well, Keith, thanks you for your time. The time is
sure.
up.
That's pretty fast.
I mean, we covered so many topics, I'll tell you. But so if anybody wants to call, you just call the prosecutor's office.
Yes.
And then we'll get Scott's number in the next show. But thank you so much. You've done great work. I've been a big fan of yours. Miss you at this year's Super Bowl, though.
That's right. See who's going to be in the Super Bowl. But did you have your Golden State Warriors?
Oh, yeah. Golden State Warriors. But ever since they won a championship, the tickets are so expensive now. But anyway, thank you very much. Check out our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube channel and just type in Generations Magazine. Subscribe to us. So whenever we post a new show there, you're gonna get an email regarding this new show. We post all our shows on our YouTube channel and you can re-listen to all of these shows. Don't forget KITV, Saturday morning about 6:45 to 7, the Aging Well segment. And that's our partner on TV. And of course, thanks to Salem Media and Mike Buck here. Melissa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
And we'll see you guys next week. Aloha and live well.